You know what? That's right. I never was comforted in the true sense of the word with God until I repented, until I was saved, until the Holy Spirit did his work in my heart. And I was talking to a brother on the way out here this morning. What's happened is the church is trying to comfort people without the work of the Spirit of truth. And people are saying, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, I tried that and blah, 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 and it's no good and so forth. And we're wanting to see the fruit of the gospel and the fruit of the scripture. Because I want to tell you something. None of us, I'll give you a simple illustration of this. Your own children. Let's say they did something wrong and you know it, but you're trying to get them. You don't want to just have a whipping session and get out of here. You want them to deal with it, but they don't want to tell you the truth. You cannot really and honestly comfort that child until that child has come to the truth. Isn't that right? If you know in your mind he's lying to you, he's not being honest, pretty hard to, oh, it's okay, Johnny, it's all right, don't worry about it, it's okay. If you do that, you sure don't have the spirit of truth in you. I mean, at least you're lying to yourself. It's the same way with God, same with our Heavenly Father. God, he desires truth in inward parts. And I know I'm berating this issue, but God has really shown me, Reggie, when you are dealing with people, when you are ministering to people, you must give them this. You must have the spirit of truth. I am not going to just like, oh, it's okay, and we're not going to deal with that. If they're going to get genuine, lasting comfort, which is more than just a nice feeling, they're going to have the truth. That comes first, and then the comfort comes later. Now, we're going to look at this, the ministry of comfort tonight. And again, in John chapter 14, let's look at that passage of scripture in verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then again, going over to chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, whom the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness of me. Father, help me to preach tonight. You know, Lord, that our mind is scattered, and we need you to gather it in together around this message and this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we want to feed the flock in obedience to your word tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for what you spoke to my heart about and some clarification, Lord, in my own life. Lord, it helps me to minister. It helps me, Lord, in my own dealing with you. It helps me to understand, Lord, why there's not comfort, why there's not peace, why there's not strengthening sometimes, Lord. I've not been honest with you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll put that spirit of truth in us, that we will never try to hide the truth from our own hearts or from you or other people, Lord. God, help us to be transparent, to be open, to be honest, knowing, God, that you're a God of truth. And Lord, you said the truth will set us free. And Lord, you connected the spirit of truth with the Comforter. Oh, God, I pray, help us to know, help it to be a part of the fabric of our families, that the spirit of truth has to be there for the comforting work of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So Lord, help me again tonight. Help us to minister comfort to other people and do it in the way that the Bible teaches. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want you to take your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Now, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures real fast, so put your scripture flipping fingers in high gear. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, those only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Here Paul is talking about some people who were in the ministry with him who've been a comfort to me. I could go through this congregation tonight, and I'm telling you, it would take me longer than I'd need to preach to talk and give illustrations and examples of how you people have been a comfort to me over the years. You would not believe the little things that you may do or say. It might be a chocolate chip cookie from sister over here. You didn't think I thought, but you know, just little acts and so forth are comforting things sometimes. Paul is saying here, listen, he's saying, listen, it's been a comfort to me. And I want you to know something. God, that's part of the ministry that God has for us and part of being part of this church. God knows that we need comfort and he wants to comfort us through each other. Now, the Holy Ghost is the comforter, all right, but he wants to use us to do the comforting to other people. He works through people. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the biggest New Testament passage on comforting there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse number 3. And please, again, turn there and read with it. Mark some scriptures, underline. It's amazing that there are at least five times that comforting is mentioned. Oh, by the way, Sister Tonya, Sonia, is Lane not here tonight? He's not. Would you tell him that you and him are to have a testimony next Sunday morning before preaching? Would you please inform him of that? Okay. I'm serious. It could be. I meant to talk to you this morning, but if you guys, would you consider, you talk to him about doing that and let me know via, don't email me, don't text me, no, phone, okay? Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. You text me, I could be after the Lord comes. I wouldn't know it, okay? But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, how many's there? Say amen. Amen. Blessed, number 3, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Underline this in your Bible, the God of all comfort. Tonight, the God that we're serving is the God of all comfort. Now you say, man, I don't need no comfort. You don't know. You just don't know yourself well enough. You just don't know yourself well enough. He's a God of all comfort. Watch verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. I'm telling you something. I got a friend. I got a comforter who is abiding with me forever. And I'm telling you tonight on the authority of what I know to be a fact. I have never been in a situation ever in my life. Sometimes I might not have been as aware as I was other times, but God has always been there to comfort me. God has always been there to strengthen me. God has always been there to help me. God has always been there to lift me up. He has never left me nor forsook me. And he has whispered sweet peace to my heart. He's whispered encouragement to me constantly over the years. I'm talking tonight. I know for a fact that the God that I'm preaching about tonight, the God that lives in my heart, the God that I'm serving is a God who comforts me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of a spiritual sissy. Oh, I tell you what, I like to go have a pity party. Amen. Something gets down, gets rough, gets tough. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'll cry more than you think I might. You might think I'm a rough old codger, but really and honestly, there's a tenderness down inside here. There's a weakness that I'm aware of that I need God. That I can't, listen, let me tell you something, folks. I can't pastor this church. I can't minister to your needs. I can't meet your needs. I can't do nothing for you, maybe except just give you some Bible and love you and care about you. But God is the one who wants to comfort you. He said, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Why? Now here's the ministry. I'm talking about the ministry of comforting, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God says, you're going to go through some tribulation. You're going to go through some trial. You're going to go through some trouble. And you're going to get comforted from God. If you'll seek his face, I'm telling you, if you walk with God, he will comfort you. And through that, God's going to teach you how to comfort other people. Now, we're going to look at some good stuff. Genesis, I want to show you something. Genesis, go to Genesis chapter 37. We're talking about how do we comfort other people. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I think it comes more natural. I think God gifts some people to be able to comfort others better than others. I do not think I have a real good gift of comforting. I'm honest with you. How many say amen right there? All right, let's just be honest. But I want to be. Now listen, just because it maybe doesn't come natural does not mean I don't want to be a comfort to people. I want to comfort people. But I've really got excited about what I've learned this week because most of the time, my concept of comforting, Brother Dean, is to reach over and pat somebody on the head and say, it'll be all right and it'll be okay. And you know, and to act nice and act like I care. And then to go on down the road. But when I found out what comforting really was, I found out it is strengthening people through the truth. It is reminding people of God's truth, giving them God's word. Now, he said, "You get it. I want to show you some wrong way to comfort. And I want to show you some silly, stupid, worldly comforting." Jacob has just received word that they brought Joseph's coat of many colors back to their father. It's been ripped in shreds and got blood all over it. They'd killed a lamb and they put blood all over the coat, right? They bring it back to his father, and his father looks at the coat and said, That's Joseph's coat. No doubt Joseph is renting too. And he, of course, fell apart. He went in, you know, to mourning. And you know what those sorry sons did? They comforted him. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 35. And all his sons, well, there's 11 of them that had part of, there was 10 of them that had part in selling Joseph down to Egypt, and they were lying to their daddy, and they knew the truth about it, and yet they walked over to their daddy and put their arm around his neck, and all his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, I'll go down in the grave into my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now there's two things there. Number one, a lot of times people are comforting and it's not comforting at all. It's a bunch of junk. In fact, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the first, that the law of first mention in Scripture is one of the first, it's one of the first early mentions of comfort in the Bible. And what God's doing is warning you about false comfort. I'll give you an illustration. Your kid went out and did whatever, and, you know, and let's just say he went to school and got a whooping. And the kid comes home and tells you he didn't do anything wrong, and oh, everybody's against me and everything. All of a sudden, you put your arm around him and you're just comforting. That's garbage. Truth about it is, your kid's just sorry as I was, and just sorry as you are, and just sorry as the next kid's. You say, well, I know a situation where they did. Well, most of the time, kids, they're lying to you. That, but God says they're lying as soon as they be born. Here's what I'm getting to. I have seen parents, their kids couldn't do nothing wrong. Everybody's against my kid. Everybody's got it in for him. And you try to comfort your, and your kid going to be messed up. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you gave him the same kind of stinking comfort that they tried to give him. It wasn't comfort at all. It wasn't being truthful with him. It wasn't being honest with him. You're just pouring a bunch of human sympathy and human pity into the garbage, and you ruined them. Comfort without truth will ruin a kid. It will ruin him. Because he figures out that he can manipulate everybody and that he can play on everybody's sympathies and get by with everything he's doing. You be careful about comforting your children. I'll tell you what, I think we ought to comfort. But I'm going to tell you right now, I thank God that he has taught me from his word about false comfort, and with the where the absence of truth is, there is no true comfort. And now let me say something to you. When there's no true comfort, there's not going to be healing, not going to be fixing, not going to be thing happen right. It's going to be ruined. It's going to be wrecked. And it turns into condoning wickedness and condoning sin instead of real comfort. It's a serious thing. There's a reason Jesus said, I'm going to send the comforter, even the Spirit of truth. God knows you and I need genuine. Let me tell you something. Zach was mentioning this fast through Scripture today. David sinned, committed adultery, so forth. Had Uriah killed, all that kind of stuff. I want to tell you something. Did you know that David was never, ever comforted till Psalms 51, almost a year later? He finally got on his face and said, God, I've sinned. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. And I mean, he poured his soul out. And when the truth, when the Spirit of truth permeated his heart, and he broke before God and said, God, I'm guilty. You know what happened? You listen to this. You read your Bible, you'll find out. Not only did David get comfort, but that child died and he went and comforted Bathsheba. David couldn't comfort her until he had gotten comfort from God. I want to tell you why that had to be. Because David's the one who got her in the mess she was in. And David couldn't help her till he got honest himself. And sometimes you and I can't comfort other people because we're not even honest with our own selves. God will not let anything less than the Spirit of truth be involved in comforting. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Go to Job chapter 2. This is so good. Let's just go to Job, kind of work our way through here. I don't know. I got so much. I tell you what, some... Job chapter 2 and verse number 11. Verse number 11. This is after all of Job's affliction came to him, right? And when Job's three friends heard of all the evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz, Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, Nathamite. They all made their appointment to come together to mourn for him, with him, and to what? Comfort him. Guess what the Bible says that Job said in John, and you know what happened? Now watch this. We're talking about the ministry of comforting. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say again, I'm not good at it. Here's my problem. I don't have the tenderness of spirit that I need to be used of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. That's another qualification. If you're going to comfort somebody, you can't just chop their head off. I told you this morning, the Word of God cuts. God doesn't use an axe. How'd you like to walk into a surgery room and here's that doctor with an axe? We're fixing the cut on you. One of my problems is, it's the sword of the Spirit. And it has to be the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the person. Job said, they took off. And basically, one of them said, oh, I had a dream last night, and the doodaddies went up on the back of my head, and I saw this, and they started getting all mystical and spiritual with Job. They was trying to prove how spiritual they was. Then they laid it on him. You've got sin in your life, Job. This wouldn't happen to you. Get up in chapter 16. After God just got through saying that he was a perfect and a just man and upright, and there wasn't nobody like him in all the East, they come in there and saying, you know what, you're a sorry low-down dog. You got secret sin in your life, blah, 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 blah. And Job gets up in chapter 16, what he says, miserable comforters are y'all. If we come into other people's lives with accusations that we don't really know about, situations we don't really know about, and we start trying to comfort them, and we start trying, but our comforting is kind of accusative, we're not going to comfort those people. Not going to be used of it. He said that your miserable comforters, all of you, in Job chapter 16. Look at Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21 and verse number 34. Whoa, that ain't right. No, yeah, here you go. Psalms 21 is not Job 21, amen. Job 21, verse 34. Job 21, verse 34. Now, he's responding to these guys' comfort. Isn't this amazing? For 30-some chapters, you've got three guys that are trying to comfort a fella who's got real problems in his life. He's got sorrow. He's got death. He's got loss. He's got all kinds of problems. He needs comfort. For 30-some chapters, they're trying to comfort this guy. And look in verse number 4. How then comfort ye me in vain? Are you listening? You better have your Bible open. Look right here. Seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood. Woo! Do you see the connection between the spirit of truth and comforting? Do you see that connection? He said, you're trying to comfort me, but you've got falsehood in you, and it ain't working. It ain't working. This is the problem with a lot of Christian counseling going on in America. There is a bunch of comforting and so forth and consoling and sympathy and all the empathy and all this kind of stuff, but there's no truth. Can I tell you the truth? What most people that have, if they're in sin, they just need to be told, listen, until you get right with God, ain't going to be fixed. They don't need to be whipped on, don't be beat on, but until you get right with God, you can expect more trouble. Until they get that, it's not going to happen. But on the flip side of that, we go in to comfort somebody if we think, well, they're not right with God, or they got this, or we surmise or presume and so forth like that, and we're coming from that direction, and we don't have a clue at all what God's doing in their life. We're not going to minister comfort to those people. This is a great text in the book of Job teaching that you can without wisdom try to comfort people and it doesn't work. And here's the bad part about it is you tried to comfort somebody and you wonder why it didn't work. Okay. Let's go to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. David said in Psalms 23 verse number 4, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Does anybody know what a rod's about? Well, it's two or three deals. Moses and Aaron both had rods. They're used for a source of authority. By the way, can I tell you, if you stay under authority, you'll be a lot more comforted. How many knows when you're driving 90 and a 60, you're not comfortable driving? You're watching to see if Rob Cruise is anywhere in sight. Right? See, sin and disobedience will bring a lack of comfort. David said, Lord, your rod and your staff, that which reaches out and corrects me and brings me back into where I go, and that which your chastisement, your punishment, the rod, he said, that comforts me. And what he's saying again is that God is going to comfort as he corrects us, as he brings us back in the line where we need to be. Deals with us in our situations. Go to Psalms chapter 71, verse number 20. Psalms 71, verse number 20. I want to rush. I'll tell you what, we've got a TV show we're trying to get home in time to watch. And I want to hurry. What time is it, somebody? No. Thank you, Brother Paul. If I ask, Paul will answer, amen. He'll tell me. Psalm 71, 21. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Oh, listen, David knew that his comfort would come. He said, who? Thou. Listen, I was talking to somebody here recently, and I said, listen, I can say everything to you, and you can have 42 preachers and Billy Graham down here, but until you learn to let God comfort you and get where God can comfort you, you're not going to experience comfort. And if nobody else in the world ever comforts you, God can comfort you. If everybody else doesn't understand, they didn't understand Job's plight. They didn't understand what was going on in Job's life. They thought they knew it all. They thought they had it all figured out. Folks, but I tell you something, I don't have you figured out. And if I walk into this church, my Uncle Jess, my Uncle Dean Rose told me one time, he preached in the same church for 50 years. He said, Reggie, whatever you do, when you walk in here on Sunday morning, get behind that pulpit, don't you think you've got everybody figured out? You don't have a clue what's going on in those people's lives. And only God Almighty can comfort them. Only God Almighty can strengthen them. Only God can help them. And if you're not preaching from God's word, they're just going to get psychology junk and psychoanalysis that they can get on any stupid TV show. But they need the comfort from God. Go to Psalms chapter 119. Great chapter, Psalms 119. David here talks about comfort in verse number 50. Psalms 119 in verse number 50. David said, now watch this. Here we're coming. We're talking about the ministry of comfort, how to comfort people. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, let me tell you something. We find in that passage part of the definition. Did you know what Webster says in his dictionary definition of comfort? To enliven. To give life to. To comfort somebody. You know what? Look at the verse before it. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Here is comfort. When somebody can give you hope, when somebody can give you life, when somebody can pour God's life into your life, when somebody can pour God's hope into your, then you're beginning to learn the ministry of hope. It's not pouring me and my intelligence, my opinions. You begin to pour the word of God into that person's life. The older I get, the less I want to give people my thoughts and just say, how about this verse here? What about this verse? Would you read this verse here? Would you read this verse here? Go to verse number 75 in this passage of scripture. Verse number 75 through 77. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. What? What? David said, Lord, I know that in faithfulness you've afflicted me, that your judgments are right. Verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. David said, you know what, Lord, I've had afflictions. But he said, Lord, I know you're just and your judgments are true. And he said, I know that these afflictions, even you're going to work those out and you're going to comfort me in the midst of my afflictions. The things that are tough, the things that are rough for me, God, you're going to comfort me in the midst of that. And he said that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And then he says, thy merciful kindness be my comfort. And that's where we get to know God. Look at verse number 82. He said, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Oh, listen to me. I asked a guy recently. He's got a lot of troubles. He's got lots of problems, got lots of sorrows, got lots of troubles, probably more troubles than anybody in this church house tonight. And I asked him this question. I said, let me ask you something. How much are you reading your Bible? Well, he said, not too much here lately. I said, I didn't ask you. I said, how much are you reading your Bible? Well, I ain't even read it for a while. I said, that's your problem. You can't hear from God if you're not reading the Bible. You can watch your TV preacher, but you need to be in the book yourself. Let me tell you where I'm going to go with this message real quick tonight. You want comfort, you read this book. You want comfort from God that lasts and that's genuine, that's real comfort, you read this book. And sometimes he'll afflict you, and sometimes he'll chastise you, and sometimes he's going to rebuke you, and sometimes he's going to put his arms around you. And I'm telling you, God will work it all together. And when you come out of that thing, you'll know you've had comfort from God. And it's not some superficial humanistic pity thing. It's the true comfort that will strengthen you, that will help you, that will lift you up, that will give you grace to go on down the road of life, to come back to church again, to get up and sing again, to testify again, to witness again. And you'll find out it was through the comforting strength of Almighty God. And you'll say, that had to be God. That had to be God. Had it not been for the comfort of God, I wouldn't even be in church today. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 61, why Jesus came. Isaiah chapter 61, why our Lord came. Verse number 2, he came to, of course, in verse number 1, is talking about he sent me to bring good tidings to the meek, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for God, to comfort all that mourn. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Now, watch this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 4, Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are they that what? Mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's not just arbitrarily taken out. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament principle that if we will, watch it now, we're talking about the ministry of comforting people, that if we will learn to mourn, scriptural mourning, that we will have comfort. I'm going to tell you something. When I get alone with God or I at a time with God and I mourn over my sin and the Holy Ghost convicts me and makes me see the rotten garbage and filth in my life and the sin in my life and I repent of it. And I'm talking about from my heart. I'm not talking about just some little blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about when God does that deep work in your soul and makes you see yourself for who you are and you grieve over that and you mourn over that. I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost comes in and says, I like that. That's what we're needing. That's what we're needing is for you to get honest and have a grief, a sorrow over your sin. And then God will start strengthening and comforting you and lifting you up and helping you. And that's in chapter 5 of Matthew 2. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. I'm trying to hurry. Acts 9, 31. And the church here, the church has had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the, watch this, watch it. Comfort of the Holy Ghost. Whew. Oh God, give us a church full of people who are comforted by the Holy Ghost. Woo! They don't have to have 42 preachers counseling them about everything all the time. Hey, I like the old time way. I like it back when we didn't even know what a psychologist was. I grew up, I didn't know there was such an animal as a psychologist. I didn't know there was a Christian. I never heard of the animal called Christian counselor. You went and got on that old altar and you poured your heart out to God. You said, God, I need help. God, I'm weak. Lord, I got troubles. Lord, I can't get myself. Lord, I need help. And people went out in the woods and got on a stump and said, God, you got to help me. People got help. And the I'm going to tell you what, people, the comforted by the Holy Ghost, oh, would to God we'd quit looking to man to comfort us. That we look to the Holy Spirit of God, the great comforter, to help us. Well, the church was comforted and they multiplied. Go to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Oh, my goodness, my cup runneth over. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. I want to show you this now because this is where we're headed to. You want to get comfort? Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. How many here knows don't come hear Reggie preach for comfort? You say, man, I was needing comfort. And all he did is get up and preach on sin. Well, I'm sorry. But God wants you to learn something from that. Don't look to Reggie for comfort. Lower your expectations of Reggie. He's not your source of comfort. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost, you know, and now you can say, thank you, Lord. I just now seen it. I don't have to be irritated at Reggie no more. He's not my source of comfort. Never was intended to be. We're growing. That's when we're growing. I'm turning you best I can tonight to God. You know what? I kind of had to learn this hard way. I was called Don Zinnup one time, tried to get comfort. What do you think I got? No. I'm going to tell you something. We can get comfort one another, and that's good. But in the end, I want you dependent upon God for your comfort, for your strength, for your uplifting, for your ability to go on with the Lord. He said in chapter 15, verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime. Well, what's that, you reckon? Old Testament. Were written for our learning, that we may, through patience and what? Comfort of the Scriptures. Whew. Oh, I got to reading about old Joseph the other day. I got to doing the math. 17 when he was sold to Egypt. 30 when he was brought up out of the prison pit. 13 years. 13 years falsely accused in a foreign country and a lot of it spent in prison. Who do you have to comfort him? Pharaoh? The butler? The baker? Potiphar's wife? Who did Joseph have to comfort him? Well, God's trying to help us tonight. God's trying to help us. See, Reggie, how do I comfort people? Well, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God tells you explicitly. You know, my mama, not very strong. She's real weak. I told one of the boys today, I can see my mama weak. Every week when I call her, she's just less strength. Now, she's been through a lot trying to help Dad and everything. But I sat there the other day and I was talking to her. I said, Mama, the Bible says, as your days shall demand, so shall your strength ever be. She looked down, she looked back up at me. She said, Reggie, I hadn't thought about that scripture in a long time. But that sure applies to me right now. And I watched God strengthen her through his word. You know what my mama needs right now? Oh, she likes me to put my arm around her neck and give her a kiss on the forehead and say, Mama, I love you. You know what she really needs right now? She needs to know this. She needs to be reminded of what she already knows about this book. I stand down there yesterday and I said to Mom and Dad, you know, Dad's fighting it, and I'm glad he is, and I'm glad he's trying. And when he's doing good, I think for 91 and been through what he's been through. I sold my uncle's sale yesterday, and his wife was my mama's sister, and I bought a few things and took down there some old dishes from back in the 20s and stuff, and I found my aunt's autographed book from when she was in high school, 1943 to 1946, and all these kids had written in it little notes, you know, and poems, and I got on down in the floor and got Daddy over here, Mama here, and I started flipping through and it read the name. Oh, we know them. We know them. We remember them. They were all kids that they knew. And, you know, I got ready to leave. And Daddy's, a little tear come to Daddy's eyes. And I don't know. But I quote the scripture. So Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's scripture. I want to be with our loved ones. I want to live as long as I can. I'd like to see my great-great-grandchildren. But I'm not going to lie to you tonight that there is something in my soul that I long to be in heaven. I long to be with the Lord. I'm beginning to understand what Paul said when he said, I had never been to that point in my life. Now, I'm not planning on leaving. But I'll tell you what, God's putting that desire in there to be with the Lord. You know what? God wants us not only to age with grace, he wants us to die with grace. God wants to comfort us in the midst of our bed of sickness. He wants to comfort us in the midst of our weakness. And you know what? I think what God's trying to do is he's saying to me, Reggie, you don't even know how to comfort your own mom and dad. And God is saying, you comfort them through my word. That's not to say that they don't need personal touch and kindness and acts and deeds of kindness. And I want to say to my brother Van tonight, Van has been tremendous. I'm honest with you, Van, I'm not feathering your cap tonight, buddy. I'll tell you something. He got a gift I ain't got. Now, Van, don't act mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. he don't like me talking about him from the pulpit. But, Van, I want to tell you tonight, I appreciate it. Amen. I do, because I'm telling you something. He has stayed right by their side. Amen. And I admire people who can just minister that way. But it's not easy for me. It's not. Maybe not easy for him either. I don't know. But we're traveling ground we ain't never traveled before. Ain't that true, Ben? And it helps me to understand. Maybe this is all going to help me to comfort you. Maybe I'll know. See how God comforts us in the middle of our troubles and trials. Then he says, so that you're going to be able to comfort other people. Because I don't, be honest with you. See, I don't know much about death. I've preached a lot of funerals, but I ain't had anybody in my personal family pass away. Not one. To be honest with you, I don't have a clue how you feel when you lost your wife or you lost your child or you lost your mom or daddy. I really don't know. But I know this, that in Christianity, one of the beautiful things about Christianity is that there's a God of comfort. Amen. Who gives us hope after all this, what sin has done to this world. And you know, yes, we need to fight the good fight of faith, but we also need to enjoy and appreciate and minister that comfort that God can give. And he's saying, I wrote you the Old Testament. You read those men. I want to tell you something tonight. I have failed God. And Brother Terry, whenever I've read David's life and I've read Abraham's life and I've read Jacob's life and I see where they failed God, it comforts me to know I'm not the first guy that ever messed up. You say, well, that's pretty poor comfort. Well, I guess I'm sorry, but I get comfort from it. You know what I really get comfort from? Is knowing that God wasn't done with them. God didn't throw them away. God didn't toss them out the window. He still loved them. And that comforts me. That verse is real. Man, I'm telling you, that verse is real. He said, you go back to the scriptures, you're going to be comforted by reading the scriptures. Man, I can tell you what, this ain't turning out nothing like I thought it was going to. I'm going to give you one. You write it down, read it when you get home. It's in Genesis chapter 50. It's years after Joseph's daddy and his brethren had all come down from Canaan land and moved into the land of Goshen, and they'd been there for years. Jacob dies. Their daddy dies. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret in the scripture. Those brethren had never truly got honest with God or Joseph about what they'd done to him. Joseph ministered to them, but you can always see that deal in there. And you know what happened quick as Jacob died? Does anybody know what his brethren said? They said, oh, Joseph's going to get us now. Their conscience was bothering them because they had never received, watch, listen to me, they had never received the comfort, the peace, the release, because they would not come clean about their sin, what they'd done to him. And it's at that point that they came to Joseph. They just shelled out the corn. Actually, me and Karen was looking at that and reading it. And they were still about like me. They just, you know, they kind of grunted around about it, but they never really, I mean, it wasn't like it really should have been. And God shows us something there. Did you know what the Bible said? That Joseph, watch this, spake kindly to them and comforted them. He ministered comfort to them. Let me say something to you. One of the ways you can minister comfort to people is by forgiving them. Even when they don't do it all just right. You want to minister comfort to people? Let it go. Forgive them. I want to just mention a few things about what I've discovered scripturally that comfort is by reading all the verses on comfort and by looking up again definition of the word. Its primary application is, and this is what the Holy Ghost does, it comes along beside us, strengthens us, lifts us up, gives us what we need to go on the journey. It involves the word not only strengthening of the mind and the heart, but to give relief to pain, to cheer another person up, to enliven, to give life to a person, to sympathize with that person, to give healing to that person, to give new vigor into their life, to assist them, to encourage them, to assure them, to give rest to that person, to bring quietness to that person's life. Have you ever seen anybody, they're just all rattled, and you just, some people can, I never will forget in my life, a lady told me one time, worked over here at a sale barn, and if you haven't seen a bee's nest, and you know, just a sale, everybody wants their chicken, I mean, it's just wild, you know. And a lady told me, she said, Reggie, and this is on a fact of my wife has this gift. She said, that office can absolutely be a crazy house. And if your wife steps through the door, she says, like everybody goes, it's going to be okay, Karen's here. There are people who can come into your life who settle things down. And you need that. That's a comforting ministry. You can be all shook up. And sometimes in life, you just need somebody who can kind of grab you by the shoulders and say, hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. And that's what the Holy Ghost does and what he wants to do through us. It means to give new strength. It means to remove, watch this, to remove fear, to remove worry, to remove distress, to give hope and peace and assurance, to console, to support, to strengthen in danger, to strengthen in depression, to strengthen through discouragement, to strengthen through difficulty and infirmity. My dad right now, and when I tell him I'm so proud of him, I'm not exaggerating a bit, but just to see his hand move from going from nothing to having to do this to where now he's taking the bar up and he's doing this, and he gets a hold of, he got a water bottle, and he takes that water bottle and he squeezes that and he does this and he does this and he does this. And boy, it's exciting to see that arm move from, you know, and to see his hands. He plays with Play-Doh, kids. He plays with Play-Doh, you know. Dad always said, once a man, twice a child. He's back to Play-Doh days. Play-Doh days, okay. But it's exciting to see him do that. The other day, he said, watch this. He took that Play-Doh and he took his thumb and his forefinger and he just shoved it all the way through. That's an accomplishment. When you can't move your fingers, that's an accomplishment. And you know what? And I can just tell, you know what? I figured something out, Van. He likes to be told, Daddy, you're doing good. He likes to be encouraged. He likes to be comforted. Boy, Daddy, he likes to hear, Daddy, I'm proud of you. Do you know what? I always like to hear Daddy say to me, Daddy, son, I'm proud of you. Or son, you're doing good. We need to comfort each other. Let's comfort each other in this church. Now, we'll finish this out. You say, Reggie, when do folks need comfort? Well, when they're hurting, they need comfort. But one of the best things somebody can do, I'll tell you what, I come upon a lady who had a four-wheeler wreck. I mean, tell you what, her foot was, it was just twisted, mangled up, and she was laying in the ditch, and she was just screaming in pain and so forth like that. And I ain't good at this stuff, and nobody was, I was the first one on the scene. And I'm telling you what, I walked over there, walked down her, and she's, I mean, bad shape. But you know what? I just tried to comfort her, and I started praying, and I started telling her the ambulance is on its way, and you're going to be all right, and you're going to make it through. You know, pretty soon I said, listen, take a deep breath. Breathe real deep. Quit taking real quick. And boy, just started talking to her. Listen, you're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. And pretty soon she started settling down. Just started settling down. Comforting. When people are hurting, they need comfort. They need to know it's going to be all right. Susanna, she was up at a sale one time. We had whipped about 25 miles north of Mountain Grove. And a dog bit her face. Some of you remember that? Just bit her face up. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's the awfulest looking mess I ever seen in my life. When I saw her, I could not believe what I saw. And they hollered at me. Karen come hollered at me. And I dropped the mic and run down through there and come down through there. And I seen her. And she's laying on an old bus seat there in the side shed. And I looked down her face and saw that. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. What in the world? And she looks up at me and goes, Daddy, am I going to die? And I gumptioned up all the gumption I could get and the confidence I could get. And I said, honey, you ain't going to die, but you're going to hospital. You just will get ready. And I think after I told her she wasn't going to die, she said, going to be all. She said, I think that's what she just needed to hear. She wasn't going to die. But, you know, it's all been funny to me. She just acted me kind of casual. I said, am I going to die? I don't know. If I would have said it, am I going to die? That was her mama coming out in her. When people are suffering. When they're brokenhearted, I want to tell you, when people are brokenhearted, they need comforting. When they're suffering, when they're lonely. I want to tell you something. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. When their people are hurting, he came to heal the brokenhearted. When people are lonely, tell them Jesus is with them. He'll never leave them or forsake them. When they're sick, I want to tell you, he said, he'll make your bed in sickness. I'm giving you scripture for everything when people need, when they need comforting. When it's repentance, he said he would comfort those that mourn. When you failed in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he'll lift you up. When you've lost a loved one or a friend, you're going to be able to see him again if they're saved. If they're discouraged and when they're down, gird up the loins. When you're depressed, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. When you've got troubles, tell them about David. Whenever you got rejection, tell them I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When they're disappointed, when they're fearful, saying 500 times, go to God, told you not to fear. When you've been betrayed, tell them it's going to work out for good, even though the other person don't know it. When you've been sinned against, tell them vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay you going down the road alive. You say, well, Reggie, how can we comfort? Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm preaching above my head, and I don't know much about it, but I want to learn. First of all, you can comfort by visiting people. You can comfort by visiting people. If somebody's in the hospital, it's a good thing to go see them. When they're sick and down, and I'm a poor one on that, but I'll tell you, I've had more people, more than oftentimes, they say, Reggie, just you being here sure helped me out. Just knowing that you care. Visiting people, you can visit them. Take food to people's houses. You can comfort people by taking food. I tell you, pretty hard not to get a little comfort when some good food comes in. Amen. About flowers. You know, a good flower once in a while, just some flowers. I'm not talking about cooking flowers. I'm talking about flowers. You know, somebody sends you some flowers and says, I've had people send flowers and say, we're thinking about you today. How about a card? Here not too long ago, got a card from Sister DeGay. She's so good to send cards. She always tells me, I'm going to lie here a little bit. She always tells me I'm the best preacher in the world. I'm lying, ain't I? Oh, she comforts me. She'll give me some scripture, and she sends me a card, lets me know she's praying for me, thinking about me. She comforts her pastor. Boy, I tell you, I appreciate it. You can send a card. I want to tell you another way to comfort, and that's put your arm around somebody's shoulder and hug them. Hugs are pretty cheap. I mean, they don't cost a whole lot, but it don't hurt nothing to hug nobody. Amen? Hug somebody. There are people out here ain't been hugged in 40 years. Need to hug them. I'll tell you, a pat on the back. I'll be honest with you. I go by some of these young people here. If I can think of it, I'll just give them a slap on the back. You know what I want these boys to know? I'm your pastor. I care about your life. I know you got your living, you're going on, but I want you to know I'm interested in you, and you mean something to me. Amen. I want to comfort them. Showing up can be a comfort to everybody. Amen? Just showing up. Just being there. Just showing up. As I said, card or a letter or sometimes a gift can just be such a blessing. Just a little old simple gift. Brother Jerry Smythe used to take little praying hands to people when he'd go visit them in the hospital. And I've had people talk about how they appreciated those little praying hands. Words, a word fitly spoken, is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Just a good word at the right time. Don't have to give them a big speech. Don't have to try to explain to them what's wrong with them and how to fix it. You might turn out being a miserable comforter. Oh, I've had this cold for weeks. I know what you need to do. I've tried that, okay? I've tried it. I'm bad to do that. Now I'm on the emergency kick. Don't mean it'll work for you. Acts of kindness. But let me tell you what you can do to comfort people, and that's pray for them. Pray for them. Get on your knees before the Lord and pray for them. And then one of the greatest things you'll ever do to comfort people is give them scripture. Give them scripture to help them. I'd encourage you to read this, or here's some scriptures right here you ought to read. And you can comfort people by forgiving them, and you can comfort people by having a song in your heart. I don't know much about it. I want to learn. Brother Terry, I'd like to think before I leave this old world that I'd know a little bit about the ministry of comforting people. For the Lord said to Isaiah and to Jeremiah, comfort ye my people.